Jay Bryan, thank you for the announcements. You're doing such an amazing job with that. And we are so grateful for everything you're doing. I'm just really excited for today. As you can see, we're a panel here. We just felt like with what's happening in community, in our nation, as a church, that we wanted to bring us as pastors. We are Bob Puller, Renee Calva, and Dave Weigel, the three staff pastors at Living Waters Church. And we're going through the same things that you are. And we thought it'd be really good to talk about what it's like going through, pastorally and just as individuals, as people. We don't have some kind of a leg up on the market like we have some power beyond anybody else that does. But we many times suffer the same things that everybody else does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so our month, this is the final installment of our title for the month, has been Living from the Resurrection. And so this installment is going to be Living from the Resurrection in Trying Times. I want to open with a scripture that I think is just very pertinent. It's very, very familiar scripture. We read it quite a bit. It's Romans 8:27. We'll start. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's comforting to know that the Holy Spirit is, even now, that he's making intercession for us according to the will of God, not according to our will, not according to what's comfortable to us, not according to what we think we need, but according to the will of God. And this is what that looks like. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. If you love God, then these things, even these things, are working together for good for your life to those who are called according to his purpose. Yeah. For who he knew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So when we talk about all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose, many times we forget what the purpose and the will of God is, that we are predestined. There is something in the heart of God that he is fashioning of people, who is in the heart and the mind of God, to create men to really be in his image, you know, to look like Jesus, to look like his son. And so this scripture is talking about all the circumstances of our lives God can take supernaturally and work them together for our good. And what's our good is that we'll come into a conformity to the person, to the nature, and to the character of Christ. Mm-hmm. So when we come through troubling times and we understand that we can either come into an agreement with and work through those troubling times, we can either become better or we can become bitter. And we have to, it's really a choice that we have to make. And part of that choice that we make is walking together with brothers and sisters, walking together with people that help us to remind us of who we really are, and to remind us of kingdom purposes more than our comfort and, the American gospel, the American lifestyle that we right now is really, I believe, being challenged in the United States of America.
Yeah.
And I think it's good because there is a higher perspective. There's kingdom perspective that we need to live from. And that's really what it means to live from the resurrection. Mm-hmm. It's living with a higher perspective. You know, but in these times of trouble, the one thing that I understand that in right now, there are some people that are actually prospering and doing better financially and in every way. They're busier at work. And the coronavirus really has not affected them. They're in jobs that they're out and getting plenty of social activity. And then there's other people who, a couple, they might have both lost their job.
Yeah.
And they might have children at home now.
Yeah.
And they don't know how they're going to pay their rent. They don't know really so many questions. And then there's others who have lost loved ones to the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And so we have this whole wide gambit of people, and we might not know everybody in one of those circumstances, yeah. but it is happening. And so it behooves us as believers to be people of compassion mm-hmm. and to understand yeah. that, that we're just, everybody's in a different place. And even with that, I have seen that different people handle trials differently, and people's own pain is really their own pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they handle it differently. You'll run with something in a way different way. You know, it's a no-brainer for you to run through it. Yeah. For me, it's like, ah, you know. Yeah. And mm-hmm. we just have to understand and give each yeah. other some space in all of this. Yeah. So even in a scripture like that, that God works all things together for good. Have you ever had anybody quote that scripture to you and you wanted to slap them? You know, it's like, don't, yeah. that's not the scripture I needed right now. But yeah. but there is a truth to that, that, mm-hmm. that the Holy Spirit is always so involved in our lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's so involved in all the things that we're going through, and he's going through it with us, yeah. you know, right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's a tremendous comfort in that, you know, that yeah. that what we're going through day by day is going to affect us eternally. There's yeah. eternal purposes.
Yeah.
And we just need to understand that. But even before the coronavirus, our decisions and the things that were happening to us and the way we were responding were affecting us eternally then too.
Yeah.
But this is just a good reminder. In many ways, it's a wake-up call mm-hmm. to the church.
Yeah.
So we I know that we are going to be markedly changed as a nation mm-hmm. through this. I know that the church, the Big C Church, is going to be markedly changed, and I know that yeah. Living Waters is going to be changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't have a clear vision of what that looks like. We don't understand all those things. Yeah. But we know this, that it's a time to keep our heart, really, our head leaning on the heart of Jesus and yeah. really pressing into his heart during this time. But there is a power that we live from.
Yeah.
And it's a very real power.
Yeah.
And it's a choice that we make where we've run out of our own options. And many times yeah. it takes that where yeah. we kind of are forced mm-hmm. into a corner, so yes. to speak. But, you yeah. know, it's great that Jesus is found in those corners.
Yes. It's a good place
and
to be.
Yeah. It's a good place to be. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
really, when we're at the end of ourselves, it's like, you know, the old saying, well, I couldn't do anything but pray. You know, mm-hmm. maybe we should have started there.
Yeah.
yeah. And so the other thing that I have noticed in that I think is a major thing as a wake-up call to the body of Christ is just seeing the fragility of the American way of life,
mm-hmm.
The fragility of our economy. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that 6 weeks ago that our economy would be where it's at?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And who's to say there's not another bug down the road? Mm-hmm. You know, there's just things that are so out of our control, and we have yep. trusted in our horses and chariots. At least most of my life, we've had a pretty secure life in the United States of America, mm-hmm. and that's a blessing yeah. from the Lord.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like we're gluttons for punishment that we want to go through these things because it's cool. That's not it at all.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a trust and a confidence that we have had in another kingdom that I believe Jesus is really bringing a wake-up call to the church
yeah, mm-hmm.
to
amen.
Say, you know amen. What? We need to have our eyes on the kingdom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in good times, bad times, his kingdom doesn't change. And yeah, his love doesn't right. shift. It doesn't change. It doesn't go with every wind of what's happening in the nation.
Yeah.
And so I thought it'd be really good to just come together and to talk as mm-hmm. as pastors, as shepherds mm-hmm. To the body of Christ and to Living Waters Church. And I know that there's some people here that might not know us, and I want to introduce Bob Puller, who is really the founding pastor of Living Waters Church mm-hmm. Back in 1991, I think it was, when you first...
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't around then. I came about 3 years later. But really, a lot of the character and the nature and the foundations of this house have been established by Pastor Bob, who... we really look to as with an apostolic voice. He just has one of those establishing voices, and he runs with that now.
Yeah.
Bob has just gone through some really tough things in the last couple of years, and you want to talk about somebody who has been living from the resurrection through some very, very troubling times. We have witnessed that here in this mm-hmm. house.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, I've probably haven't told you this, but I've had people say, yeah, but is he really facing reality? And I say, he's probably facing more reality than anybody alive.
Yeah.
Because he's coming into the reality.
Yeah.
And I saw you live from a higher place.
Yeah.
So I just want you to talk a little bit about, Bob, what it's like to live from the resurrection in troubling times, both in what you walked through in walking Marcy to the other side of life and through the coronavirus and just different things. So please go ahead.
Well, thank you. Yes, for those of you who may not know, I lost my wife to cancer. We had been together over 42 years and married almost 40 years. And for those of you who may not know, Renee is our daughter. Mm-hmm. And so she walked through that with us. And the truth is, when you talk about living from the resurrection, when you talk about the loss of a person, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives you tremendous hope.
Yes.
Because it's easier to let go, and it's easier to say goodbye. And no one knows, we know, but our family knows, but no one knows the process we went through. But it was a process. And it was a process of a confidence that she's in a far better place. And if she had a choice, she would not come back. And we would not expect her to, even though it's hard and it's been difficult. But I think to live from the resurrection, you know, in settings like that, which obviously it's a loss that is permanent, or whether it's a situation like this where we know this too will pass, I think we could give all kinds of pat answers.
Sure.
We could, but I can only go to the scripture and go to a number of places. But I would read from Paul's letter to the Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice.
Yeah.
And I think we need to know, no matter what we're going through, there is a joy and there is a source that we can draw from that is outside of our circumstances. He said, rejoice in the Lord. We walked through some difficult times leading up to and after Marcy's passing, and yet we had a joy, and she had a joy because there was a joy set before her. And we had conversations as a family and as a couple, and I know Renee had conversations with her mother to daughter. Mm-hmm. And it was all surrounding the person of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he had brought. Now, obviously, that's a different trial than this, but I appreciate what you said. The truth is, it's all relative, and so the trials that people are going through now are just as significant, but the answer is still the same. And it is keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, recognizing that he is the Prince of Peace and he has a source of peace. He is a source of joy, and we can draw from him, but we do need to accept what is. We have, you know, we have a saying, it is what it is. That is true, people. It is what it is. And to hope that it changes does not change anything. And God is always dealing with present and future. He does not really look to the past. In fact, it says he buries our past as far as the east is from the west. I believe both the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. I believe everything. Because we are a prophetic people, so we're constantly looking forward. So although we must live in the present, we can look to the future. So what does the Lord have? What is he doing, even as you said earlier? What is the good that he's working in this, both in me, and then what is he going to work through me once he's done it in me?
Yeah.
And so there's just, and it goes on to say, you know, to pray and with thanksgiving. And thankfulness is such an important part. When I was in the difficult days, I could thank God for my kids, for my daughter and my son and our grandchildren. And there's just so much to look forward to and to even to look at in the present. But you do need to accept it is what it is and let go. Forget the former things, for behold, I do a new thing.
Yeah. So we watched you, you know, on this side, but I know that there are a lot of things that happen behind closed doors that I don't expect you to share. They're very, very private.
Yes.
But can you kind of put a finger on and encapsulate how the Lord ministered to you personally? And I know that there's limits on that. I understand that. But how the Lord broke through in those times, you know, the disappointment, for instance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were all believing for healing. I mean, we did everything we knew how.
Yes.
There were times we felt like we got breakthrough.
Yeah.
And sometimes that disappointment is one of the hardest things to encounter.
Yeah.
Would you be able to just speak to that just a little bit?
I think it's good to understand that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And my desire and my wants come secondary to what He's doing. And sometimes we don't always see what He's doing.
Yeah.
And His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so, you know, we say Jesus is Lord. But in those seasons, and even in these seasons where He is exercising His lordship,
yes.
and that doesn't mean He wasn't the source of her death, nor is He the source of this virus. That's not the point. The point is, in the midst of it,
yes.
He is still Lord,
yes. yeah.
and He is my Lord, and He gives me a strength, and He gives me... How did He minister to me? He came so close to me. The Bible talks about God,
yeah.
God the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father. I believe all three are tremendous comforters. And in those times, if we are just honest and say, Lord, I hurt, He draws near. Mm-hmm. And He brings a healing that is way deeper than just emotional. It's spiritual. Mm-hmm. And it marks you and it does something in you that allows you to let go of what was so you can take hold of what is and what will be without the smell of smoke on you.
Yeah. Did you ever sense like just a divine jealousy over you, you know, of the Lord, a jealousy for you? That's an off-the-wall question, but I...
Yeah. I felt His tremendous grace and His tremendous protection,
yeah.
if that's what you mean. But He had my back, and He had our back.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And I know there were people, this church family, you all, you were amazing. You were amazing. And you've been amazing as we've moved forward and moved on. Mm-hmm. And we're just so thankful for it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Yeah. Just as you were talking, I was just aware of the jealousy that the Lord has over His people.
Yeah.
Even in
yeah.
this time where it seems like things are going haywire, they're going south.
Yes.
Like evil seems to be triumphing.
Yeah.
But as you were talking, I was just aware of the jealousy of the Lord over His bride.
Yeah.
We're His. That's a pretty significant thing to understand that. So, Renee, you know, you and Jay Bryan, I admire you so much because you're so different than me, and I love that. You know, I'm very seat of the pants, but you and Jay Bryan, you know how to get things done. You know how to accomplish things. You live with purpose. You live with intention.
Mm-hmm.
You're pretty administrative. Mm-hmm. You know how to put your ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like for you and Jay Bryan going through, I know you had plans, I know you had visions, I know you had some purposes, and those things kind of, I wouldn't say they got blown out of the water, but they definitely didn't take the route that you were hoping. So what's it like for you, both with, you know, losing your mom, but also with this season with the coronavirus and the trials that you might be going through?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have an intended outcome for everything. And so I can tell you that...
Did you lay hands on me?
Yeah. That's not always a good thing, Dave.
It's called strategy.
as it relates to my mom and that process and just, you know, kind of what was coming up for me when my dad was talking about that is one of the things that the Lord, because I think it was disappointment was a huge piece of that.
Sure.
The
yeah.
disappointment mm-hmm. was, you know, because that wasn't part of my plan either.
Yeah.
That wasn't
yeah.
what that looked like, you know, mm-hmm. our kids growing up and not having her there and, yeah. you know, me moving into this season of my life and her not being there. And,
yeah.
And even there's that loss piece, but that disappointment in our faith. Of yeah. really, there's, you know, believing and never believing more and wanting more for someone to be healed.
Yeah.
And then not seeing it happen in that way. And throughout that entire time, I felt like the Lord constantly came to me and said, you can either be taught by your pain and your disappointment, or you can be taught by my comfort and my hope.
Mm,
and that I had to constantly position myself in not being a student of my pain and my disappointment,
wow.
yeah.
but being learning what I could learn out of all of it, I would have missed some really beautiful things in his relationship with my mom
mm-hmm.
and in how they, Jesus and my mom, walked this out together.
Yeah.
If I had chosen to land in the disappointment and the pain piece mm-hmm. and to let that be the teacher, you know, we're able to come out of it and say, no, that's not the lessons we learned. We
yeah.
learned about who our God is and what hope really looks like and the things that we cling to that aren't him and the box that we put him in. When we think
Good.
We took him out of the box, the reality is we just put him in a bigger box.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, and, you know, those things that we've learned coming out of that and, that's a precious, precious time, you know. And so coming into this season, which is kind of a cakewalk compared to that, but that's for me in this
yeah.
season. You know,
yeah.
I think someone had posted, my cousin had posted, we're not all in the same boat. We're in the same storm, but we're not all in the same
wow.
boat.
Yeah, that's yeah. good.
And
that's
so
good.
During this season of the... All of the coronavirus and all of the ancillary things that are coming with that, we need to recognize that, yep, we're all facing this storm, but it's not all the same for all of us.
Yeah.
But what is the same is the person of peace in the storm.
Yeah. yeah.
And,
Good.
You know, so this isn't like losing my mom, but I'm going to the same place to find peace. Brian and I are absolutely planners, and you know we absolutely have things that we're moving towards, and we have a rhythm of our life that we create towards, you know, towards these things. And our rhythm sounds kind of like a drum set falling down the stairs right now, you know. But that's the thing. When the Lord says you can be taught by your pain or your disappointment, or you can be taught by what I'm doing, I think I'm quicker on the draw this time to say, okay, how do you want to rewrite my rhythm? You know,
yeah.
if this
Good.
Is this disruption is happening for all of us.
Oh.
Your rhythm is disrupted, whether you still have a job or you don't have a job. There's a disruption happening,
Good.
And it's a holy moment for us.
Yeah.
It's a holy yeah. moment for us
Good.
If we can let him say, okay, I want to rewrite some things in the rhythm, and I want to teach you. I don't want to teach you out of your disappointment and out of pain and crisis and fear. I'm going to teach you out of comfort. I'm going to teach you out of hope, and I'm going to teach you out of what I'm doing. You know, that helps me not have tantrums about my plans and
yeah.
my things that I wanted to see happen.
Yeah. So you use the phrase you didn't want to be a student of your pain.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of draw a distinction between being a student of your pain and yet being honest with your pain?
Yeah.
Because we know that God yeah. delights for us to be really transparent and honest
yeah.
with
yeah.
him in our pain, in our confusion.
Yeah.
You know, I think
that's
the
good.
Worst thing we can do is try to pretend before God that
yeah.
it's just okay. And
yeah.
can you kind of...
Yeah, that's a good differentiation to make. I felt that with the Lord as a comforter, he said, if you aren't willing to mourn, I can't comfort you.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So the scripture yeah. that says he comforts those who mourn, he gives beauty for ashes. If I was never willing to put on the ashes of mourning, he can't come as a comforter. So there's a reality. It's not being a student of my pain isn't ignoring that pain.
Right.
So even in this season, it's not ignoring, you know, I have a really disappointed 10-year-old who's not going back to school. And that means she's never, ever, ever, ever going to see her friends again. And so there was huge grief with that when we didn't realize what a big deal that would be. We nonchalantly were talking about it in front of her, and it was very sad for her.
Yeah.
And so it has to be okay, and I think it needs to be okay for the people in your world to express their pain.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good.
The difference is that that is not going to be now when I move forward in my life, I'm not using that as my lens for how I see things, how I see God, how I see other people.
Good.
Because one of the things that happened close to the end, I was driving, I said, I see that this isn't going to go the way that I... Like, I finally came to this place of going, I can see that this isn't going to go the way that I wanted it to go.
Referring to your mom.
Referring to my mom now.
Yeah.
Yep. And I said, well, I guess I won't be praying for anyone for healing for a while. And I felt like the Lord said, that is not how you want this to go. That is not the lesson that you want to learn in this.
Yeah. Good.
And it caught me, you know, that right there I had a choice what lesson this was going to teach. Mm-hmm. And my pain and my disappointment was not going to be the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I can come to the Lord with my pain so that he can take it.
Yes.
And then I don't have that as the lens now that I'm going to move forward in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, then he exchanges it for hope, and he exchanges it for goodness, and he shows me his goodness. That was one of the questions daily. Lord, show me your goodness today. Show me your goodness in this when we were going through that process. And he would show me these moments of just beautiful interaction and relationship and interaction with the Lord. And he would show me the goodness he was doing even in that difficult time.
Wow.
And that's what we need to be doing today.
Yeah.
Show me your goodness in this.
Yeah.
What is it that you're doing in our family, in our church body, in our nation, in the world?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Where's your goodness in this?
Yeah, we have a warped perspective of the goodness of God sometimes, don't we? I mean, we think that because God is good that we never suffer hard things or bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of get thrown off our rocker a little bit when things don't go the way we think that they should because of our perspective of goodness. But if we do keep really at the core of our being, the understanding of the love of God and the purpose of God, his intention, that the best thing that he can do for us is to make us to look like his son, Jesus.
Yeah.
And to be conformed to his image, and that he'll use all this stuff to do that. So, a couple of questions that that I'd like to just give a little bit of time to. Dan Peters asked these, and if you know Dan, he's always got some real insightful and challenging and good questions. That's what I like about it. But he asked a couple of questions. How is God shaping the church at this time? That was the first part of the question. And then what has surprised you about what God is doing through this? You know, one of the things that I have really seen in this, kind of starting to answer that question, one of the most powerful words that I heard was by Chris Vallotton, who is a prophetic voice that I really, really respect and honor. He's a prophet that doesn't have a political agenda, which seems to be a bit rare in this day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I so wholeheartedly respect him.
Mm-hmm.
But he talked about a dream that he'd had. This was before the coronavirus. He talked about a dream, and it was a reoccurring dream. And in the dream, he saw Jesus stand up and say, "Get out of the way and follow me." And for me, that was such a telling. I knew it at that time. That was the word of the Lord, that this is a season where Jesus is exercising his lordship. And you alluded to that a little bit when you were talking.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've seen it in times and seasons where Jesus isn't quite exercising his lordship. Doesn't mean he's not Lord.
Yeah.
But it's like times where he makes demands on the church.
Yeah.
Right? There's times where he makes demands on my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's other times where you kind of wonder if he's really watching at all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's times and seasons in personal lives and in the life of a church and in the life of a nation.
Yes.
And I really believe that's the word of the Lord right now.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is standing up and saying, okay, you guys, you've tried it. You've run your churches the way that you've wanted to run them. You've done all your great programs. You've done everything that you think is right.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's time to get out of the way and follow me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a word that is very sobering to me. It's a word that I know that I took very, very seriously. And I started looking at my own life and my own leadership as a pastor and submitting myself more deeply to our leadership team in some of the things that are coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
But then alongside of that word, I have clearly heard the Lord say, delight yourself in me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's this two-edged sword that I feel like God is working in the church right now, that to follow him as Lord can be an absolute delight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And that it can be a joy.
Yes.
You know, that running our own show isn't always the joy that we're trying to look for.
Yeah.
But could you maybe, either one of you, speak into that? How is God, what do you see, how is God shaping the church at this time? And I think that's either the Big C or maybe the Living Waters Church, probably both. And what has surprised you about God in this time? I see Bob pointing to Renee.
I know.
So.
How is the Lord? For me, I think it's, again, it's looking at, are my priorities his priorities?
Yeah, good.
And this little shakeup has definitely caused me just a lot of just mulling that over. What are his priorities in this time? There's a couple things that I'm seeing. Is number one, what do I really trust in? I can see, you know, he's definitely kind of shaking our grip loose of the things that we trust in that aren't him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And even, you know, I was about to say, even for me.
Especially
for me. I see these areas where I just recognize I am trusting in things that aren't him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I think that's one piece of it, that the church is recognizing we've built something that's comfortable and that's created a level of trust, you know, that we feel like we can be safe in that.
Yeah.
But I think the other piece is, you know, really it's causing me to look at what is the mission of the church and what is really necessary for us to fulfill that.
Yeah.
And so I would say I have zero answers for that, but that's what we're beginning to look at and just see, you know, what could the church look like?
Yeah.
And as it's looking a little bit different and what pieces are necessary and foundational and then what things can we build on that that reach people in a different way? And so I think that's what I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
And I'm not surprised at that, the second part of the question. Have you had anything, Bob, that has kind of surprised you about this?
Well, I think we're going to come out of this realizing that sound men and video people walk on water.
Yes.
We have been so thankful.
It is the rise of the techies.
Yes, yes. You are getting your day. In the sun, S-O-N.
Yes.
And no, I do think, obviously, I think, you know, we've talked some about it, but I know that the church at large, I believe, is been launched into the whole world of cyberspace and of social media, and we will be able to get the gospel out there in all kinds of new mediums and new ways, which is very exciting. And some of us who are not as young as others have had the privilege, really, of having those younger than us who understand this help us. And we need them. And it is so good to see a generation that knows they need us as well. And so we have the generations working together in just a beautiful way. And obviously there will come a time when those that are on the backside of the camera, Dan, will be on the front side. But that's down the road a bit. But it is, so I think that's probably one of the most precious things that I've seen come out of it. If I were to be honest, I've been a little bit taken back on how unraveled some people have gotten with all this. And I trust that doesn't come across as a judgment. But you said it a few minutes ago, this is just a little hiccup or a little, it's relatively small. But I think it is shaping and molding us and causing us to realize we've been saying for a long time there's a revival coming that is, as you put it, the whomsoever's doing whatsoever, wheresoever. And that's you. And that's you. And that's those of you sitting at home who have a gospel message in your mouth and have a testimony. And I said last week, I'll say again, this in part is a boot camp. And I encourage you, use this time to go deeper. There's an old saying, do not wait until you're thirsty to dig a well. And in other words, take this time, which is relatively calm compared to potential days coming and just busyness and in activity. Take these days to go deeper in Jesus and in your relationship with Him. Because you are a minister and you are going to have the opportunity to minister. And church is going outside the walls. And we've used that phrase for years. It's happening. Because this morning, it's in your home. And your home. And your home.
I think one thing, too, when you talk about boot camp, I feel like we're in the warm-ups right now. And one of the things I'm seeing with the Lord and just looking at Scripture is this reality of that finding peace in the storm is like the first step, but it's so that we can step into an authority. And so I feel like right now our role is we're finding peace in the storm, but we need to recognize that that is to position us and to poise us for an authority in the coming days in a different way. And I think one of the things for me right now is sorting out what does that authority look like? How does that authority manifest itself? And because it's definitely a spiritual authority. And so... Now that I'm mastering peace, I'll say, by faith, you know, as we come to that place of having peace, to begin to look at how do you want us to use the authority now to step into that next level of authority? And what is that going to look like for the church and for the body of Christ? How does it look in my household, in my neighborhood, you know? And I'm excited. I want to see the church step into peace because I want to see the church step into the authority that comes from
good.
That.
Good
word.
Boy, we could go a lot of directions with what you just said there. Incredible. But thinking of authority and how do you, there's an impartation of authority, but then there's other authority that you have to earn, so to speak, that through faithfulness
and obedience.
And that's part of what you're saying here is that this is an opportunity to grow in our authority,
to
grow in our authenticity, the things that we know to be true, and yet we haven't seen it, so to speak. I'm going to kind of wind things down here a little bit, but the other thing that I feel like, if I'm really honest about this, although this was a suddenly... I mean, it was quick. I've never experienced a suddenly in my lifetime on such a whole-scale basis
like this. Well, then I certainly haven't.
Well, you haven't. I'm a couple years older than you. In fact, Renee was suggesting that we get rocking chairs for you and me, Bob.
I wish I could, but I was told I can't.
But as I really look back over the last year or so, we've really been alerted in our spirits of this something that was coming. Mm-hmm. We haven't been able to identify it.
Yeah.
I'm thankful we didn't try to manufacture something. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we didn't try to manufacture the way ahead, because we'd be retracking a lot right now.
Yeah.
And it was really uncomfortable at that time.
Yeah.
But if I think back, some of the prophetic words that have been over us as a congregation, I'm so glad that we have prophetic voices in this house. And while I don't allow the prophetic to lead me, I always allow the prophetic to confirm something that's going on inside.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think of many of the words, some of the words like you'll be sons of Issachar, you know, knowing the seasons and what to do in them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this season doesn't really surprise me, but we're still trying to discover what to do in these seasons. Yeah. I mean, if I could lie and say we've got it all figured out, we don't. Mm-hmm. We're just as hopelessly and helplessly depending on the Lord now as we ever have been.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the place that I want to be. And it may be that we just learn it one step at a time.
Yeah, day
and
by day.
People that like to have their lives all figured out from here until they go home to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that. But I really do believe that this is a dependence on the Lord, and that God will teach us in the moment of what to do and how to handle ourselves and how to shepherd a flock of people that God's entrusted to us.
Yeah.
And how to be effective in our communities and in our city, and so many good things happening in the city right now. I have such anticipation and such hope. Bob, we talk about revival, and you've coined a phrase, the bridal revival.
Yeah.
And so it's a revival of intimacy. And this is all serving to launch us into what we've known in our spirits, as you've put it, in the birth canal. But it hasn't, you know, it hasn't quite been birthed yet. And we're seeing a birthing right now, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really believe we are.
I believe that.
And, you know, like anything in Christ, it's going to destroy some people, but it'll be life to other people. Mm-hmm. There's always that two-edged manifestation of the grace of God. To some, it's a fragrance of life. To some, it's a fragrance of death. And so I want to encourage us as a body to keep our hearts tender before the Lord and to let our expectation to be in His grace, His mercy, depending on His love. When Jesus came, He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom.
Yes.
And I believe one of the manifestations that's going to happen here is that we are going to get back to preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We've had a lot of mixture in the gospel, and we've accepted it. There's been intellectual gospel. There's been sociological gospel, different things that take the world's science and they try to apply it to Christ. And I believe that the gospel of the kingdom, where we're going to see the power of God, the authority of Jesus Christ, as we align our hearts with Him, and as we purpose to go that way. So I want to encourage us as a body that we're in a good place, and that Jesus is still Lord. He's still King. He is still longing to manifest His strong arm of authority and grace and love over you, over me, over our families. And so I just want to pray, and I want to release blessing on you as we bring this to a close. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless this body. I bless this congregation. I bless all those that are listening. Lord God, with hope, with great hope. Not in the horses and chariots of this life, of this world, or this system, but God, in the reality of the kingdom of God, that Jesus came preaching, that it is even now at hand, and it hasn't gone anywhere. It hasn't gone back into heaven, that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is still at hand. And it happens to be at the hands of the whosoever is doing the whatsoever, wheresoever. That the kingdom of God is near us. It's in our mouth. It's in our hearts. So I just bless this body to be the living body of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, everybody.
I'm
Thank
so
you
proud
guys.
Of you. Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.